everybody. Well, here I am back on the other side, and pressing on with my notes here. I want to thank you very much for the music once again, Darwin. I've certainly enjoyed those tapes, and I'm really looking forward to receiving some more from you. I have just about worn these out. I think I've played them so much, the ones you sent me before, and I really enjoy all of them. They're really good, and especially because you know the type of music I enjoy, and I particularly enjoyed the ones with the Johnny Mann singers and the Nina Smith singers and that type of music. And also, I'm really, I think more and more getting to like the classical piece that you sent me. It's a real fine listening, great music, but nice flat bass here. Well, I'll now try to answer your last letter, folks, and see if I can get up to date on your letters here. You mentioned about the election being over here and whether it mattered to us. Well, yes, of course it does matter to us. It was important to us for our category that the elections went off smoothly, and in our area, they fortunately did. We had very little trouble in this area on the terrorism approach. We went down to Duck Hole again for a couple weeks to help secure that area while the elections were taking place. And now we are back up in the Chulai area. Again, that's where we're flying out of, just like we were here recently. Yes, I had heard that the Kansas governor was here visiting on that delegation. I didn't see him, however, and I didn't see Miss America either. Wayne was complaining. He said he didn't see her either, and if he was in Saigon, I'm sure, so I guess we didn't fare very well there, did we? I was glad to hear that the Mary Jones's, Mary Jane's wedding went off smoothly, even if the weather was bad. It sounds like she had a very nice wedding. I was glad you got to go down and represent our part of the Jones family. How did Ralph have to say about it all? I suppose he's very philosophical about it, huh? I'm sure glad to hear that Emma is getting along well. It just seems so sad that she's living there all alone now by herself, and even with her daughters coming to see her and everything, I'm sure that helps her daughters along, as the case may be, but anyway, it seems awfully sad that she has to live there alone after all the activity that she's used to. I'm also glad to hear that grandmother is doing well. It seems like she just keeps pressing on, and I'm real glad to hear that. Even if she does have a bad moment, it sounds like she's doing quite well, all things considered. Glad to hear that you're keeping up with the Fidel ceremony. It sounds like they're coming along pretty well. I guess they are having problems with the cook bed. Like you say, I guess there'll never be another one quite as handy back there as old baby was. She sure had a knack for getting things done and turning out good food. And of course, the guys really thought a lot of it. Now, it sounds real strange on this phone bill, but we never did have any problem like that when we were there. We didn't allow long-distance calls. If a guy wanted to make a long-distance call, well, of course, he had to keep a record of it. And, I can't believe that the guys would just run a bill up and not even own up to having made the call. It sounds pretty strange, and of course, it sounds even stranger to be using house mother's phone, although maybe if it's during the summer nobody's around, I guess maybe it's any way to do it if it's just a local call. Well, I guess everybody has their problems, though. Oh, Mom, you ask about whether you should send word if grandmother should pass away while we're over here. Yes, very definitely. Do go ahead and notify us. I would very much like to know. As you said, it's not likely that I would be able to come home in that case. Like you said, the only case that we are allowed to go home is if there's a death in the immediate family, and that's defined, of course, as being our parents or our immediate family there. So I don't think that Red Cross would allow me. Of course, you do the notification through the American Red Cross, and they will notify me. But I don't think I would be able to confirm, but I definitely would like to know. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I really hadn't thought to say anything about it. You asked about getting my R&R in October. The Army has okayed it, and I'm supposed to get it. However, I haven't been notified yet of just what date, because they haven't finished up the schedules on which aircraft are leaving when. So I haven't got a firm date, but it looks like I'm going to be able to swing the R&R in October. And of course, Joe and I are really looking forward to that. George had trouble getting lodging in the summer, yes. As you know, they have many conventions in Hawaii in the summertime, and so they were pretty well filled up. But by the time we go in October, it should be no problem at all. The beaches, areas, and the resort hotels usually have a lot of openings that time of year, so we're not anticipating any problem with the housing. Also, Joe's uncle, you know, her rich uncle out in California, well, he has several friends in the Hawaii, the co-op business. They have these co-op hotels, and they are real happy to help us out and offer their services, you might say, and getting us a place to stay in case we run into any snags. So sounds like we're going to be in pretty good shape there. Just bringing up a little date on me now, and people in Colorado, you know more about what's going on in Colorado than I do, I guess. I've gotten several pictures of the kids lately, and boy, they sure are growing, especially Bradley, of course, I notice more change in him than any of them, especially since he's working, which looks a strange to me since I haven't been able to see him work yet. Looks like he's turned into a real pistol, and from the way Wayne and Darwin talk, I guess he's really getting to be an ornery old guy. Looks like I'm going to have to take him down a notch when I get home. Well, I guess I wouldn't have it any other way, actually. Joe said that the kids are always talking about when Daddy gets home, they're going to be such and such, so it sounds like Beth and Pam have lots of plans for me. I guess I better be prepared, huh? Well, a little about me. I'm, as I said, back up at July now, and we're working in an area northwest of here. It's about, oh, I'd say 20 to 25 miles northwest of July. It's west and just a little bit north of an area called Tampoo, which you may have read about in the papers recently. The 5th Marines have been in that area and have had some very heavy contact with the Viet Cong and with the NVA units. And we have been brought up here as a reinforcement to that area and are working just north of where we were in Operation Benton, which I'm sure you must have read about in the papers because it got quite a bit of publicity. Operation now is Wheeler, Operation Wheeler. And we're going to be in this area for, it appears to be, quite some time. We're getting quite a bit of activity out in here. Almost every day we have some type of contact. It looks like we may have a fairly large NVA unit in this area, so I guess our work's going to be cut out for us for a while. We're starting to run into a little problem with weather now. In the last few days, we've had very heavy thundershowers, and today has become even more typical of the monsoon season. And speaking of the monsoon, I enjoyed your little cartoon there. I thought that was rather clever. I think, yeah. The Florida bit. I don't know if we can afford them, but we sure do get them. We're starting to get our low ceilings and a lot of clouds and a lot of rain, and I really mean a lot of rain. You just can't imagine how heavy the rain showers are over here. I've never seen anything even begin to compare with it in the United States. Even very small, what looks like just a little bitty thundercloud will come up and just give you an absolute deluge. Water seems to run off pretty fast, and we haven't had any flooding yet, but everything's getting pretty thoroughly soaked now, and I'm sure it's only a matter of time before we really start wading in the mud. It's getting pretty muddy already. Of course, this month, September, is the transition month, and by October, why, we're moving into the full monsoon season here on the coast. And of course, we're all kind of spoiled right now because we've had 6 months of dry, sunshiny weather, and even though it has been hot, why, it has been dry also. We do have high humidity, but during the middle of the day, it gets hot enough to dry all our clothes out and everything. I'm afraid that's not going to be true anymore. If you get wet, you just stay wet because it never gets hot enough or dry enough to dry anything out around here. Apparently about the only way is to get an electric heater and dry your clothes out that way. So I'm afraid we're going to be faced with a problem there. Our living, however, is pretty good. As I've told you, our hooch out here is real nice. We have a tin roof on it and board floors and everything, so we're not living bad at all. We do have running water, not in the hooch out, but we do have showers and saving a cleanup area. And the food has been very good here. We eat down at the Marine Club most of the time. And the Marines have some real fine chow here. These are the Marine jet pilots, the A-4 and the F-4 squadrons, are stationed here in July. And of course, we have a lot of fun talking to them, and we've been working with them quite a bit in our area. So they're always glad to talk to the facts and find out what we're doing and how to work with them. I had one little bit of excitement here recently when we were downtown. I was working out in an area west of Duck Hole one day. It's over at a special forces camp called Ziavuk. You might be able to see that on the map. It's a real small town west of Duck Hole, about 25, 30 miles. Well, anyway, I was chugging along there one day, and all of a sudden I lost all my oil pressure. And I was pretty sure what had happened. I checked outside the aircraft with my hand and came up with a handful of oil, and sure enough, the oil cap had come off. It had worked itself loose. It has a safety wire on it, but the vibration had finally, apparently the wire broke, and it worked itself loose. Well, of course, like any piston that have an engine, without oil, it runs for a very short time, and then it freezes up, and so I had to find some place to land immediately, and so I headed to a special forces camp, which has a little dirt strip, down at a place called Bateau, and I made it in there, and my engine was still running, luckily, so I called my local base from there, and my boss brought me out some oil to get me a recharge so we could get out of there. It was really interesting, really. I got to talk to the special forces troops for quite a while, drink coffee with them there. They had a real nice little setup there. They're kind of out in the boondocks, and they're working with mainly with Vietnamese people. And they call them the CIDG, which stands for the Civilian Irregular Defense Group. And these people are kind of civilian soldiers combined, you might say. They live in the area there, and they work there, and they also serve as a defense against the Viet Cong attack for the villages in the area where that particular special forces camp is located. So they're doing real fine work. There's about 10 or 12 Americans located there. And they're well defended. They have concrete bunkers and good radio set up, and they have their supplies flown in and out by the caravans, the C-7s. So they don't do too badly, even though they are pretty well isolated. And of course, they know they can always call on us thanks to come over and give them air support if they need it. And it was really interesting in its own way to go in there, although the circumstances were a little unusual, I must admit. I haven't had a chance to see George much lately. I know that he's been pretty busy down there. He just finished checking out in the O2, went down to Bentoy to check out, and then he came back up and he's flying the O2 now. I got a ride in the O2 the other day, and it's a real nice airplane. I don't think it's really very good for tracking. The visibility isn't so good, but it's got more power and more range and can stay up longer, so I guess it will give us more capability. Anyway, I heard just a couple days ago that one of the new facts that had joined George's outfit was shot down and killed down there. I haven't had a chance to talk to George about it, and I don't know just what the circumstances were, but I was real sorry to hear it. I'm sure that George was too. Well, Wayne tells me that he is rooming with a Korean. I think he's one of the ROC pilots. I don't remember what he said his job was exactly, but it sounds like he was enjoying it, and I think he'll probably find it very interesting. It sounds to me like Wayne's living pretty plush down there in Saigon. He said he had a hotel room there in the Shalom district, which is a pretty rough part of town, as a matter of fact. That's the Chinese district, and that it was air-conditioned and all. So I've been razzing him about being the city slicker and having a rose-colored view of what the war is. He admits that it's quite a bit different, but of course, he gets around a lot, too. He's not always in town, so I'm sure he'll get out and see how we're roughing it. We had some pretty bad luck when we first inserted our troops into this new AO. We had some areas that we had been warned were heavily mined, and we put a type of bombs on that are called daisy cutters. It's a bomb that has a long piece of pipe on it. We put the fuse on the end of that, which makes a bomb go off about 3 or 4 feet above the ground. This, in essence, cleans all DLZ and is supposed to set off the mines, but it didn't do too good a job of it. And we had several people, when they jumped out of choppers, jumped right out of mines, and we had 2 killed and 15 wounded the very first day, which was pretty sad, and particularly because they were in my unit, and I knew all these guys pretty well, and it's pretty hard thing to take when they come back to the back with all these bandages and blood all over them. And these mines are really ghastly things. They really tear you up. Well, enough of the gory stuff, but anyway, we're still fighting the war over here, in spite of what a lot of people may think. Sometimes I wonder who's fighting the worst war. Every time I read the paper, I see about all your strikes, and the teachers are picketing, and everything. It seems like they're having more problems back there than we are sometimes. I begin to wonder if just what we're supporting, like you said, Mom. Well, I see that my tape is finally running out here, and I guess I've shot the ball long enough. And like I say, certainly enjoying hearing from you. I'm glad that you're enjoying the tapes, and I'll try and keep coming, and I'll try and write a little sooner or send your tape a little sooner next time. So until I can get some more word to you, and it'll probably be after Hawaii, why keep things cool there in Kansas. And Darwin, be glad to hear from you and tape music or otherwise anytime. And we'll be seeing you all later. Bye-bye.